The Money Show.
Consumer Ninja.
One ninja move at a time. Consumer Ninja Wendy Nola, always, of course, reminding us of our rights. Tonight, talking about the dreaded will. No one wants to think about it. No one wants to do it. But when it's needed, it's really at a tough time. Wendy, welcome again to The Money Show. If a relative shows up or doesn't show up on a will, how could that play out?
Okay, well, yeah, as they say, where there's a will, there's a relative. But often, apparently, you know, people just, you know, I suppose as well, if you're in the process of, you know, slowly dying, I suppose, you know, you've got other more pressing things on your mind than have I, you know, properly catered for everybody in my will. So let's just jump in quickly into the case study. So Eric, who is a pensioner, he's 74. He wrote to me feeling very aggrieved that a year and 4 months after his brother-in-law died, he's yet to be reimbursed for what he spent taking care of him in the last 2 months of his life. So what happened was his brother-in-law, a bachelor, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, sadly. And when it got to the point that the hospital could no longer assist him medically, he and his wife, the deceased sister, now deceased sister, brought him to their house because there was no one else to care for him. They hired a hospital bed. That was in October 2022, and he passed away 2 months later that December. He said in his email to me, "We have a cottage on our property that accommodated him, meaning that my wife and I slept in the next room in the cottage with him to care for him at night, and I spent the days with him in the cottage. Towards the later stages, we hired 2 caregivers to assist us, and I administered oral morphine 3 hourly for him during the day and night. We helped the caregivers at bath times. We did all his washing, cooking, and ran errands for him. He had a house, a car, and investments worth about 900,000 rand. So I told him while I was caring for him in those 2 months that I'll be claiming from his estate for carrying costs. And he agreed. When he passed on in December of 2022, Eric paid the funeral costs. There was no funeral policy or life cover in place. But unfortunately, nothing about that arrangement that he came to with his brother-in-law in those last months was noted in writing by him in his will or in some kind of, addendum to the bill or nothing written. So the actual will left his house to his nephew, 75% of his cash to 2 churches, 15% to an old age home, and 10% to his sister, who is Eric's wife. He says, in early February of this year, I submitted claims to Absa Trust, the administrators of the estate, in the form of a sworn affidavit for the accommodation, labor, funeral costs, transport, etc., that I incurred caring for my brother-in-law in his last days, having initially submitted claims in January 2023, that was the month after he passed away. All the beneficiaries have now been paid, and none of them, except for my wife, took care of him. We were the ones that did that at all hours and great inconvenience. We were the ones that were with him when he drew his last breath. So Eric complained to Absa Trust and later got a call from the executor who Eric says was rude to him. I think a lot of people will understand why Eric feels aggrieved. He's out of pocket.
Yes, of course.
The funeral and the carers, you know. And
he had made the family aware that he would be trying to draw down from whatever is left over of the estate.
Exactly. And of course, in this case, the brother-in-law had a fairly robust estate. There were funds. He says, this is grossly unfair to me and my wife. Her brother would not have wanted us to be treated in this manner. And I think that's the key sentence here, Mateo, because that may well be true. But what a shame that the brother-in-law didn't make his wishes known to the executives, which would have made things very simple. You know, now the executives only have his word for it. Is that enough? I asked Absa Trust, along with his receipts for those out-of-pocket expenses. And I asked them, what advice would they give to people in this regard, both those being cared for by family members and friends doing the caring, at their often substantial expense, assuming that the patient has means and a will. So the response is quite interesting, Matteo. It came from Vanya Toblanche. She's the executive at Absa Trust. She said that this was actually quite a common scenario. And she said, when drafting a will, a person should consider not only the bequests in the estate, but also the plight of creditors or any other parties who may have an interest or claim against the estate, in this case, Eric. In doing so, it might be beneficial for them to include known creditors' claim in the will itself or on a wish list that is attached to the will. So you wouldn't have to redo your whole will. You just do an addendum and you state your wishes and sign it. She says this makes the task easier for any executive dealing with the estate to be aware of a possible claim by a creditor against the estate. And it's also valuable to quantify such claims in advance to make the calculation thereof simpler. The other alternative, she said, was to include creditor claims as part of the estate planning process, such as taking out life policies during their lifetime to cover such costs. So that's, you know, the funeral in this case had to be paid for by Eric because there was no such policy to cover it. And she says, if none of that's in place, then such claims may be made with supporting documents to substantiate the claim, which may be considered by the executor and the master of the High Court. So you can see, Mateo, there's a lot of maze in there. A lot of work to be done.
If it's not in black and white, there's a lot of proving then to say this is what the late would have wanted.
Yeah, and it makes life quite difficult for somebody like Eric, who genuinely did go above and beyond. He incurred costs, and there was, you can't quantify this financially, from the, but I mean, there was a lot of, on top of a lot of emotional and, you know, inconvenience and all the rest. Anyway, to Blanche of Absa Trust said the executor may then elect to accept the claim or reject it based on the information that they've received. And this is, I think I can imagine this happening in family situations. Other interested parties to the estate may also object to a claim submitted by a party against the estate. They might say, well, we don't want it to come out of our cut, you know. So, yeah, you know, these classic things that happen.
And they cause family disputes as well.
Family dramas, exactly. So when the person passes away, basic funeral expenses and deathbed expenses will be covered by the state, providing their supporting documents. Any other claims will have to be supported by the appropriate affidavits. Okay, so Eric has submitted his affidavit and his proof of expenses. And I said, so what about, thank you for all of that. It's given us a lot of food for thought. Those of us in this situation or possibly planning to possibly one day be in that situation. So the person that does end up caring for us in those last days doesn't, you know, isn't left out of pocket. But what about Eric's specific claim? I wanted to know. And the answer was, we are not at liberty to share sensitive or personal information, but we can assure you that the executor is making every effort to arrive at the most appropriate outcome within the framework of the Estate Act and the interests and responses of parties with a vested interest in the estate and formal documentation. So I have, unfortunately, you know, I like to have a nice clean fix. I don't have that in this case, but I'm hoping at least our intervention and asking questions around this particular case will help things along for Eric. And also the main reason why I wanted to discuss this was that as a cautionary tale. Wills are really expensive. Most South Africans don't have one. And so when they die, it just creates a lot of unnecessary drama for their loved ones. Just bottom line, you know, if you are in that situation and you're going the extra mile for the person and you're incurring expenses, you know, don't be shy to say, would it be possible for you to make your
admin to your estate? It's quite an uncomfortable conversation to have.
It is an uncomfortable conversation because it sounds quite mercenary, but I think it's far better than to end up in Eric's situation where he's now feeling quite bitter, and you can understand it. He's out of pocket. He's a pensioner himself. He went the extra mile for his brother-in-law, and he doesn't feel that he should be out of pocket. And I can understand that. It's natural. But
well, I think it's good luck to Eric. You know, and I think it's a good thing that he also made time to, I know it must have been unpleasant for him to get all the slips for the funeral cover and covering the funeral, the medical costs and things like that. But the fact that he has proof is actually a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
good luck to him. But yeah, for the rest of us, just don't have those conversations. I mean, it's delicate, but it's important, because they're overlooked, and then afterwards you're sitting with a bit of a mess of a situation. It's far better to just get it all sorted out beforehand, make your intentions and your wishes known, yeah. And then it spares everyone some unnecessary hardship and hurt feelings and out of pocketness and all the rest, if that's even a term.
Well, that was our consumer ninja, Wendy Nola. Thank you again, bringing us a cautionary tale. You've heard it. Get your will.